Good evening. Indeed, it's good to be here. We worshiped already. And if you're like me, I know I had the speaking assignment. I would have been fine if the singing would have just continued. But we did enjoy and appreciate the singing. Thank you for sharing that we can worship. And I think many times, I'll confess, sometimes I come to church and the transition from all the busyness of life and whatever the activities are, we sometimes miss or we are slow to recognize how much song in the beginning of service helps us to transition into that spirit of worship. I think it's so important. You know, there's a lot of different ways that worship can be carried out. And sometimes we take for granted the way that our worship services happen with that singing at the beginning that calls us to that spirit of worship. So it was indeed good to experience that this evening. As we're here and sharing together tonight, when you have an open topic or an unassigned topic on a Sunday evening, there's always a bit of intrepidation. What was shared in the last week? What was shared this morning for a sermon? In fact, about 6 or 8 months ago, I shared a message at our home congregation. It was maybe a little longer than that, maybe almost a year. And the evening service, the speaker spoke on the exact same passage, followed a very similar format, and we got it twice. So I was trying to figure out either I hadn't effectively shared the message and the Lord wanted it reshared, or else our congregation needed it a lot and we just had it twice in one day. So I don't know what your sermon was. There was some indication maybe where it was this morning. But this evening, our time together, we're going to do more of a word study. And I try to do this once a year to focus more on a biblical word. And tonight, kind of two words that are used together in two different contexts in Scripture. Before we look at the word, just as an introduction, sometimes you hear a biblical word in a non-biblical or non-church setting. I don't know if you ever have thought about that, where maybe you're at work and somebody uses, I'm trying to think, maybe the word behoove, for example. That's a very much of a biblical or, you know, church type word. And it kind of strikes you when someone uses it. Are they a Christian? Is that why they're using it? Or is it just part of the English vocabulary that isn't commonly used, but they chose to use that word for a reason or to expand the vocabulary in that context? So this happened to me in the last year when I saw as the subject line in an email what seemed to me as very much of a scriptural word or a biblical word. And as I thought about the context or why I was receiving that email and why that email subject line was this word was in that subject line. But yes, there's an environment. There's something happening. And as a little bit of introduction, our life and our family, we revolve a lot about around agriculture. We live on a farm. We're involved in a family business that is feed production for animals. So I can agree with wanting to be in the country. I can. But again, God has called us to different places. So with that background in agriculture, there's been a challenge to poultry agriculture recently. And it's avian influenza. And so I know if you're not an ag community, that may not mean anything to you. It's a disease that impacts chickens and turkeys, fowl, and it's concerning to the industry. Enough about that. Other than to say the subject line of this email was simply two words. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. And it struck me as a good choice of words in that context or in that setting. A call to vigilance. And I want, as we think about that in that setting, but then also to think about it as the time in which we live as Christians, where we're walking, where we're living, the day, the time is an appropriate time to be reminded, as we are in Scripture, to be called to vigilance. Be vigilant. And then the scriptural word, and we'll go into this a little bit, focus on vigilance. But then be vigilant, be sober. So vigilance and soberness, or seriousness of mind, is used together. Those two words are used together on a reoccurring basis in Scripture. Multiple times, be vigilant, be sober, used together. You already are probably thinking of at least one of the passages where it is, and we'll be there shortly. So when I think of this call to vigilance and why it is important for us as believers, you know, vigilance is a call to alertness. Some synonyms are wide awake, watchful, watching. By definition, there's a definition that I like of the word vigilant in this context: alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. Alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. It suggests something intense, an unremitting wariness or watchfulness, a seriousness. So in the context, again, of the email, vigilance is a good word. Be alert. Not fearful. We're not going to shut down the industry. We're not going to eradicate all poultry from a state or a region without some kind of process. There's going to be vigilance, watchfulness, alertness, just this call to up the ante, if you will, or be more serious, more intentional about carefulness in what we do. And as Christians, we need to have that intense watchfulness as we walk in our Christian experiences. If you think about it, other than in Scripture, what context or where would we be most likely to use the word vigilant? You're thinking, when would the word vigilant be used most often, or in what context do you think of vigilant being used outside of a scriptural, more of a secular context? When would be a call for vigilance? Anybody thinking of any? There's one that came to my mind. It relates to weather events. If there's a serious weather event coming up, a hurricane, tornado, sometimes in a broadcast, the word is used there as well. Be vigilant. So again, that talks about this intense watchfulness. Being very, because something's happening that we need to be very careful. We need to be very alert and be on our guard. In 1 Timothy, and we're not going to focus on this passage, in 1 Timothy 3:2, this idea of vigilance and soberness are used together as it relates to church leadership, the need for a church leader or one that's leading. And I would broaden this particularly as fathers this evening, as we think about leading a home, a family. Think about this message or these two words for vigilance and soberness or seriousness of mind, being calm and collected in spirit, the idea of soberness. This about a church leader, and says a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So in leadership, the call is to be vigilant and sober. And if you think seriously about your responsibility, particularly as a father in a home, you're thinking about that, there's need for vigilance. We need to be very watchful. Because the next passage, the one we're going to, and going to focus on primarily here in this part of the message, is in 1 Peter 5:8. And you know the verse by memory. You may turn there if you want to. We're going to read a few verses shortly. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So just a little bit more about the words, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 5:8. The word vigilant is used 11 times in Scripture, or the original word, gregario, The Greek word is used 23 times in the New Testament, 11 times as it relates to Christ's return, and we're going to close there this evening. And then in the garden, when Jesus gave instructions to his disciples, he said, "Watch ye." In the King James Version, we see the words, "Watch ye," that this is a very intense time. Jesus understands what's going to happen, what's taking place, the circumstances, the environment, and he says, "Be vigilant," or "Watch ye," 6 times in the garden. And then 6 times where we're starting out this evening as it relates to spiritual alertness is this word vigilant, or the root Greek word vigilant, used. And it is translated watchful, alert, depending on the translation, and vigilant. As I think about this, and as we move into thinking about the times, we said that the setting, the environment, calls for vigilance, for seriousness, controlled thoughts about a circumstance or environment that is challenging. As I thought about that, and especially the combination of vigilant and sober. So in the purest translation, you may say, of the word sober, is also very clearly the idea of being unintoxicated or being controlled by the environment. So if you think about the environment that we're working in, the Christians experience our walk, and the idea that we have an adversary, the devil, and this call to be sober and vigilant is very fitting description of the way we need to walk. See, if we're in a difficult situation and we respond in fear, the outcome is not going to be good. It doesn't say be fearful because you have an adversary, the devil. No, we don't need to fear. We just need to be alert. We need to be serious in thought. We don't need to be frightened. We don't need to be paralyzed. Simply, as I thought about it, I came up with these few little sayings. If the future is uncertain, we do not need to be unsettled. In troubling times, we do not need to be terrified. In the face of the enemy, we can be calm and courageous. We don't need to be fearful. The call is to be vigilant and sober. Be on alert, spiritual alertness. I'm going to come back and read 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 now together, and then be challenged by this verse as we walk in our Christian experience. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So our focus is narrow this evening as a word study on these two words, be sober, be vigilant. The NASB, verse 8 at the beginning, says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. ASV, be sober, be watchful. So the words translated again are be vigilant, be on the alert, be watchful. That is the call. We're walking in a time where we need to be watchful. We need to be on the alert. We need to be careful as we walk. And then the reason why the call for this vigilance is spelled out very clearly in the few phrases that follow. So this alertness just isn't to be alert because the might be scary for us in a physical sense. It's a spiritual enemy that we're facing. There is a spiritual adversary. As we walk in our Christian experience, it is not a journey that is just casual, full of just all experiencing good things. And yes, that is a part of the Christian experience. But a casualness in our faith often leads to a falling away. Too much casualness. It is not a casual walk. It is a serious, vigilant, sober time that we're in, and we need to walk and think that way. As I thought about it in particular, as these words were written in the time span, the time frame, I'm sure they were needed. When I think about where we are as a culture, the culture in which we live now, again, very needed words, timely words for us to hear, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be watchful here and now. But the reason why is spelled out again. We have an adversary, and then there's a picture painted of this adversary. A word picture. Because we're trying to comprehend this. We have this adversary, and how is he moving or acting? As a roaring lion walketh about. And what is the purpose of this roaring lion walking about? Is it to come and just kind of hurt you in a little way? Might just take a little nip? What does it say? Seeking whom he may devour. So the seriousness, the intensity of the situation is spelled out. Why the vigilance? Because this situation is intense. What the time, the place, the enemy, the adversary has a purpose. He is intentional, and it is his desire to devour us, to take us down spiritually, and to lead us away from truth and a faithful walk. We need to be very watchful in the culture and time we live. This idea of devour simply means to swallow up or to completely destroy. To completely destroy. We see that. People falling away. We need to be watchful. As I was thinking about this word picture, there's also a family word picture, a setting that our family experienced. I think I'll share the story because sometimes when we think about this roaring lion, if you never faced, how many of you ever faced a roaring lion? How many of you ever encountered a grizzly bear? Okay, so I was thinking, you know, roaring lion was first. I know I never experienced that. I never experienced a grizzly bear. I have this thing. I'd like to go on an elk hunt sometime. I wouldn't mind if there are grizzlies in that area, I don't think. But, you know, until you'd actually experience it, do I know? I don't think. I probably ever won't have the elk hunt. And if I would, hopefully no grizzlies. So I've never experienced that. The closest experience that I thought about this idea of seriousness and intensity, being very alert in a situation that is less than comfortable, does, though, relate to hunting. So I tell the story. Our daughter is married, moved to Southern Virginia. Those of you who would know Richie Lowry in the area of Hillsville, Richie is with Anabaptist Financial. But anyways, she's married, lives in Southern Virginia, her and her husband. We have some opportunity with some land there that's right adjacent to their property. And it is good hunting land. For the first time in our experience as a family, I do hunt with my sons and daughters. And in the first time in our experience, we were able to hunt a piece of ground that we knew had bear. There were bear on that property. And we knew that. We were aware of it because we had trail camera pictures, etc. So the very first time that we went to that property to archery hunt. Their season in Virginia is a very liberal season. Bear, deer, and even turkey archery all overlaps one another. So we went in the first weekend that deer, bear, and turkey were open. Just a little side note, that also happened to be our communion weekend back at home, 6+ hours away. So that's 6 hours away. We're hunting an evening hunt in Virginia. And just as it's getting to the last shooting light, my son calls and says, "Dad, I just shot a bear with my bow." And now I'm thinking about all that needs to transpire if this was a good shot. First of all, we've never hunted bear before. And if I did, I'd prefer to use a rifle. That would just be more secure in my mind. The setting would be better. So I'm thinking about did he make a good shot? Is this bear wounded or is it dead? What is the situation? We have a limited time, so most of those who would know about hunting, are there hunters here? Maybe you're some? Okay. Yeah, so the idea would be in archery to give it all some time. Just step back and give it some space, some time. We didn't really have that privilege if we were going to make it to preach at communion next morning. It wasn't so. That said, we started to trail the bear sooner than I would have preferred. Now, vigilant, soberness, vigilance was in place. We thought about it differently. I think we went to the house, we got rifles, we got handgun, we got plenty of lights, and we weren't sure because this was all new. And I know those of you, maybe some of you, but we didn't know. We just didn't know if this bear was injured, what we were going to encounter. It was all new to us. And as we took the steps, as we just on that trailing process and did that, you know, every step that we made, every area where we changed, we surveyed the surroundings, we looked, because we knew that there could be danger just ahead. And it changed the way that we walked through the woods. And I believe in our Christian experience, it changes the way I walk, how I think about life, where activities that I do, decisions that we make for our families, are all because we're vigilant, we're sober, we're thinking seriously about the dangers that are around us and how they could destroy us. We take a wrong step if we're not alert to what's going on. It could be very destructive. I'll quickly conclude the story about the bear just because you want to know. It worked out well in one regard in that we found the bear relatively soon and it was expired, it was dead, and that part was relatively easy to get a bear processed and get home in time to preach was another challenge. I had enough time to shower and get to church. So that I don't know if that means that, but it was, the Lord was with, and it was a good experience for our family, and it's a memory that we had. But it definitely changed the way I walked, we walked. And as I think about this passage and the need to be sober, be vigilant, I think about it, yes, and that we can be spiritually drawn away, but there's also a battle for truth and the biblical truth, standing on biblical truth. And we're faced with that. Where we're getting information, the type of messages that we're listening to, the type of teaching that we're taking in. So it's this idea of an adversary that would destroy us, and there's also the idea of being spiritually alert. And I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 16:13, read a verse here, and think too about this importance of standing for truth and alertness to what is being taught and brought in as Christian around us. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Again, I'm going to read that from the NASB and say this. It says this, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." That's a challenge for us. We need to be on our guard, to stand firm in the faith. Acts 20, verses 29 through 31, the heart of a pastor for a flock says this, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And then here's the challenge. So what? Just hear that again. It's another animal word picture, if you get that. "Know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among the flock." Just imagine that picture. Wolves, a flock. "Also of your own selves," inside, People will say things that aren't true and will draw people away from the truth. This will happen. There'll be Christians that'll speak something other than truth, and people will be drawn away. And then here is this same call to alertness. It says this in Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. The heart of a pastor for his flock, or a leader for the church here described. But again, the call in verse 31 is to be watchful. And the intensity that is described then with this space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. In our families, in our leadership, we need to be alert day and night and have a burden that leads us to tears for the flock to remain faithful to truth. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be sober. We need to be on guard. That's a call to spiritual alertness. We're going to conclude this evening, because it is a word study, it's a bit of a transition, but these two words are used in relation to Christ's second coming. And so we are on a word study, not a scripture subject study. So we are going to transition now and see how these two words are again used together as it relates to Christ's return. And it does tie to the idea of being spiritually alert so that we can be prepared and anticipating. So be vigilant, be sober is used in light of Christ's return. And if you want to open your Bibles, I'm going to read a few more verses here from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 6. Or you can listen along. Again, we're going to see in verse 6 this idea of watchfulness and soberness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. Be vigilant, be alert, be serious-minded, serious in thought. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Again, these same two ideas of watchfulness and seriousness, soberness, used together as it relates to Christ's return. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, 1 Peter 4, 7. And one more passage. And again, the word pictures here again. You noticed it as a woman with child, as a thief in 1 Thessalonians 5. Here, Matthew 24, verse 37 says this. But as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as it was in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Again, it's the same call to watchfulness, alertness, being on our guard. It's used as a word of warning here. And if you look at verse 42, it says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour. And then it's used in an illustration in verse 43. It says this, if they would have known, just describing this thief coming into the house, if we would have known when, we would have been watchful. We would have been watching. We should have, but we weren't. And, you know, as I thought about that story and the story of the virgins, the 10 virgins, and the 5 that are on the outside, you know, if they would have been, but they weren't. They weren't prepared. They weren't watchful. They weren't ready. And so it is an important reminder to be vigilant, be sober, be watchful, be alert. Revelation 6:15 says this, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Are you ready? Are we watchful and alert? You know, as I think about this subject and maybe the importance of vigilance, there's two things that we're going to think about here that we talked about already this evening. The fact is that we all have an enemy. There's an enemy to our soul. And he would destroy us. Sometimes that's an attack of sin to draw us away. Some other times it's fear, doubt, discouragement. It can be those things as well. He comes in different forms. We saw a roaring lion, but the devil is real, but he is not all powerful. We do not have to live in fear. We can be courageous and bold because we're alert. We know, we understand this is an attack. Call what it is. Call the blood of Jesus. And claim victory over sin. Live victorious over sin and the devil. He does not need to destroy and devour. Personally, claim spiritual victory. Be on guard. Be alert. And temptation will come. But we can be victorious. And then, as leaders, as I stated earlier, lead our families in being victorious. Being alert to the enemy. And then, I don't know where we're living. I don't know how close the end is. But I know that sometime, and maybe not too far away, we'll have the opportunity to hear the trumpet sound, and it's the day of the Lord. He is going to be returning. And I'm not going to get into end time events and where you think that's going to happen or how many years it is from when to where, but be alert, be ready. So if he's not coming exactly when you think he might be coming, you are ready, alert, prepared for his return. Be alert, because in that time, as the end times get closer, Scripture makes it very clear. It says there will be a falling away. So, as we walk our Christian experience, in our experience, we do not need to be fearful of the future or of the enemy. We need to be vigilant and sober. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the relationship that we can personally have with you through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that we can experience through the blood of Jesus Christ, the power to live victorious. And Lord, we also recognize that as we live for you, there is an enemy of our souls. And Lord, I just pray for each one here in the congregation this evening, in their spiritual journey, in their walk with you. There will be temptations. There will be snares. There will be times where our hearts and minds may be drawn away from you. Lord, just help us all to be spiritually alert. Be aware of the time that we're living in, and to put safeguards in our lives, to claim victory through Jesus Christ, and to live victorious for you. Lord, as we live for you, we anticipate that time when you will call us home. May we be watching, waiting, ready. Lord, go with us and help us to walk faithfully until you call us home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.